The controllers back aboard the orbiting starship had been quiet for the most part. Brad's explanation that he was studying the local fauna apparently satisfied them. They must have found a line in the mission protocol that covers what I've done so far. But going down into the sleeping village was another matter, he knew. MC was watching everything he did. Brad hoped that the human controllers on the night shift depended on the computer to alert them of anything deviating from mission protocol, and were not watching him moment by moment. Brad hunkered down amidst his catches and waited. He drifted off to sleep, then woke with a start when his earphones buzzed with the sounds of Gammons speaking. Raising his helmeted head above the crest, he saw in the ruddy light of Beta 4 Gammons walking leisurely away from the longhouse, chatting among themselves. He knew the sounds of their conversation were automatically relayed from his ship to MC up in the orbiting starship. More grist for the linguist's mill, he thought. The four aliens went their separate ways to their huts, calling to one another in what Brad thought must be their version of goodnight. The village grew quiet and utterly dark. Maybe they can see in the dark better than I can, he thought. Brad waited an hour, fighting off the urge to sleep. The animals he had caught were quietly snoozing away. Hope I can get them down to the village without waking them, he thought. He decided to carry them one by one and deposit them at the doorway to the longhouse. That'll make more bootprints for the villagers to follow, he told himself. The work was tedious, but at last Brad had all three little traps in place just outside the longhouse's entrance. Then he hurried back up the hillside and started for his shelter, thankful that the controllers hadn't paid any attention to what he was doing. Nobody up in the ship has thought of this, he realized. There's nothing in the mission protocol about it, so what is not forbidden is allowed. I haven't triggered any alarms from MC. Brad thought of the master computer as his partner in crime. Going to be a big day tomorrow, he thought as he trudged toward the shelter. With a grin, he wished he could see Kossoff's face when the professor learned that Brad had made contact with the Gammons. Conflict. Just what do you think you're doing? Brad snapped awake at the sound of Kossoff's voice. For a moment he was disoriented, foggy, but then it all became clear. He was sprawled on the sleeping roll in his shelter on planet Gamma, alone in the pre-dawn dimness. And Kossoff's face filled his comm screen, glowering at him. Well? The professor demanded. Knuckling his eyes as he sat up, Brad mumbled, Good morning. You went into their village, Kossoff accused. Yes, sir, I did. I specifically told you not to make contact with the aliens.
I haven't made contact, Brad said.
His face red with anger, Kossoff started to reply, thought better of it, and snapped his mouth shut. Brad sat there looking at the comm display, fighting an urge to urinate. At last, Kossoff said, his voice iron hard, Last night, you went into the village three times and left three small animals that you had caught.
Yes, I did.
That's contact, which I specifically prohibited you from initiating.
It's not contact. They didn't see me. They don't know where the animals came from.
Kossoff's glowering expression cooled a bit, but only a bit. Don't split hairs with me, young man.
Thinking quickly, Brad improvised. What I did is an experiment. I want to see how the Gammons react to something unexpected.
How they react? Kossoff growled. Surely they won't think that those animals were left with them by a visitor from another world.
Kossoff said nothing.
If we're going to make contact, eventually, Brad went on, I thought it would be a good idea to see how they react to the unexpected. React to the unexpected. That's within the mission protocol, I think. You'd have to go through the rules with an atomic force microscope to find anything covering what you just did.
Glancing up at the brightening shell of his shelter, Brad said, They'll be waking up soon. We'll be able to see how they react.
Still looking grim, Kossoff grumbled, I'll get Chang and her people to record everything they say.
The linguistics computer should be able to understand at least some of it, said Brad.
You'd better get up to the crest of the ridge and observe them.
Yes, right away.
Kossoff was clearly unhappy, but he added, And don't let them see you. Suppressing a grin, Brad answered, I'll try not to. By the time he had done his morning ablutions, including relieving his bladder, and pulled on the biosuit, The blood-red sphere of Mithra had climbed above the distant mountains. It was full daylight when Brad cautiously looked down at the village from the crest of the wooded ridge. He stayed behind a row of bushes and focused his helmet's telescopic lenses on the longhouse. A growing crowd of gamins was clustered at the building's door, talking rapidly and gesticulating with their ropey, tentacle-like arms. "Not me," the linguistics computer translated. "Who did it?" demanded a voice. Brad thought it must have come from the gamin standing in the doorway, with the three caged animals at his feet. The splotches of color on his body were several different shades of blue and purple, and he seemed to be the one asking questions, demanding answers. "The village chief," Brad concluded. They kept on chattering and pointing at one another. Brad's gift of the captured animals had clearly upset them. It was something different, something new in their lives, and they had no explanation for it. Very much like humans, what they didn't understand, they feared. Brad noticed with some disappointment that their wide splayed feet were obliterating the boot prints he had left in the packed earth. "Now there goes one of my brilliant ideas," he thought. The computer's translation was hit and miss, mostly miss. It buzzed weakly when it came across a word or phrase it didn't understand, but it kept spitting out the word "who." None of the gamins had an answer. At last, the village chief raised his arm and pointed to the hills on the far side of their farmland. "Strangers, their village," Brad heard in his helmet earphones. "Why? Who? Death time coming. Gift? Why?" the chief repeated. The villagers fell silent. Several of them turned to look toward the distant hills. Then one of them said, "Far village." Brad grinned to himself. "Far village indeed," he muttered. "You have no idea how far." Contact. Brad slithered on his belly down below the ridgeline, then got to his feet and marched back to his shelter. "Time for breakfast," he told himself. 2 tablets of condensed proteins and vegetable products, plus a vitamin pill, washed down with my recycled piss. At least the meal didn't take long. Brad listened to the computer's translation of the gamin's talk, straining to make sense of it. There were still huge gaps in the translation, stretches where he heard nothing but its pitiful buzzing, like a tiny insect trapped in a bottle. But the computer understood one phrase that had been repeated several times: "Death time coming." Could they know about the death wave, he asked himself, and answered, "No, impossible. They don't even have telescopes, let alone modern astronomical equipment." "Death time must refer to the coming flyby of planet Beta," he concluded. Death time. Suddenly, the computer's speaker erupted with the rumbling of several deep voices, gamins, excited and not far away. He pulled on his helmet, fastened it to the neck ring of his biosuit, and ducked out the shelter's airlock. And there were 4 gamins, no more than 50 meters away, gaping at him. They all carried short, sharpened hunting sticks. Contact. Fighting the urge to go back inside the shelter and find his pistol, Brad instead took 2 full steps beyond the airlock and spread his arms, palms outward. "Hello," he said, hoping that the computer's low growl of translation was correct. MC's voice came through the earphones inside Brad's helmet. "I have notified Professor Kossoff of your contact." Brad thought that even the computer sounded excited. "You're projecting your own emotions onto MC," he told himself. "Still." The 4 aliens looked uneasily at one another. Then the tallest of them rumbled like a lion's deep-chested cough. The computer said in Brad's earphones, "Who? You?" "I'm a visitor," said Brad, taking another tentative step toward them. The computer made a grumbling translation, although Brad wondered if it knew the gamin term for visitor. The gamins backed away from Brad slightly, talking among themselves. No translation from the computer. All Brad heard was their deeply sonorous voices. "It's like listening to a Russian opera," he thought inanely. "All bassos." Brad was accustomed to being the tallest in any group, but every one of the gamins towered over him by 6 centimeters. Brad told himself it didn't matter. He was tall enough to seem like them. Yet he found that he felt uneasy, self-conscious. He realized that they had turned slightly sideways to look at him. Those bulbous, oversized eyes on the sides of their bullet-shaped heads could not see directly ahead. They're descended from grazers, he thought, not carnivores. I hope. Kossoff's voice came through his earphones. Don't get any closer to them. If they attack, get back into the shelter. It's strong enough to stop their hunting sticks. They're the ones backing away, Brad said, almost in a whisper. The leader of the aliens spoke up again, sounding like distant rumbling thunder. The computer picked up a few words. Where, village, why, here? Brad stretched out one arm, pointing toward the distant mountains. My village is far, far away. Another of the gamins took a step toward him, making a sound like a low-pitched buzzsaw. He touched his chest with his free hand and repeated the sound several times. It sounded to Brad like Nx. His name, Brad wondered. Nx. Assuming that the alien was giving his name, Brad touched the chest of his biosuit and said, Brad. The aliens glanced at one another. Brad repeated, Brad. My name is Brad. The leader made a very human-like shrug and rumbled, Bird. Smiling inside his helmet, Brad said, Close enough. Then he pointed to the one who had introduced himself and tried to repeat the name he had given. Nx. Nx, the alien said, raising his stick aloft. Another one of them said, Lung. All four of the aliens advanced toward Brad, then stopped a respectful few paces in front of him. Village? Asked the leader. Again Brad pointed toward the mountains, shimmering blue in the hazy distance. Far away, he repeated. Fur-we, said Lung. Their faces were incapable of expressions, but Brad got the feeling they were all satisfied. Lung pointed uphill with his hunting stick. Village, he said, pointing with his free hand to himself and his companions. Go, village. Brad nodded inside his helmet, then realized that the aliens could not see the gesture, and even if they could, they wouldn't understand it. So he pointed up to the ridgeline and said, To your village. Kossoff's voice came through his earphones again. Well, let's hope they have a tradition of hospitality to strangers. Looks that way, Brad whispered. Then he marveled to himself. I've done it. I've made contact with the aliens. Felicia Portman McDaniels. Brad looks tired, Felicia thought as she studied his face in the holographic display of their bedroom. She was sitting on the bed, fully dressed, not wanting to stir him when they were so physically separated. And yet, they just accepted me, Brad was saying. Asked a few questions about where I came from, but aside from that, didn't show much curiosity at all. And you're making progress with them? She asked. Brad was back in his shelter on Gamma. It looked like night had fallen out there. The shelter wall was dark. In the sharp light of the shelter's solitary lamp, his face looked leaner than she had ever seen it before. There were shadows in the hollows of his cheeks and beneath his eyes. But he replied cheerfully enough. Yep, it's starting to get monotonous, though. Up with the sun, hike out to the village, talk with whoever's not working in the fields. But you're learning their language. And their ways. They don't seem to have any fun at all. Just work all day, have a meal, then go to sleep. Hard way to live. There's always someone in the village for you to talk with? Yes, but not the same person each time. They seem to rotate the field work and give everybody a day off now and then. Well, Felicia said, they're aliens after all. We shouldn't expect them to behave exactly the way we do. Brad let out a weary sigh.